This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Sharit. Malaysia is not the only country anxious about its economic outlook. Recent trade data coming out of Singapore led economists to warn that deepening trade tensions could lead Singapore into a recession. Singapore's trade agency reported a 16% year-on-year fall in non-oil domestic exports from Singapore in May, the sharpest dive since March of 2016. And this was also the third consecutive month of decline as exports shrank 12% in March and 10% in April. So how widespread is the risk of recession in the broader ASEAN region? We turn to Chua Hak Bin, senior economist with Maybank Kim Eng Research, for some thoughts. Thank you for speaking to us, Hak Bin. So with rising trade war tensions between China and the US starting to bite, there has been downward revisions to the GDPs of ASEAN countries. Which of these countries are actually most at risk of a recession?
Well, I think the more open and the more export-oriented economies and those plugged into the electronic supply chain are probably more at risk of a recession. So I think within ASEAN, it looks like Singapore is feeling the impact the most. You know, first quarter growth was just 1.2%. And, we just saw in May exports, plunge pretty badly. So that's a country that's looking quite vulnerable. I think the rest of ASEAN looks all right. There will be a slowdown, but probably can avoid a recession. It's probably Northeast Asia, Hong Kong, Korea, Taiwan, which is a lot more closely linked to the Chinese economy. That's probably more at risk as well.
And you said that the broader ASEAN could probably avoid a recession. What do you think about Malaysia? What are our risks?
I think probably not. I think we have a forecast of 4.7% growth this year. If the trade waters escalate and Trump decides to, raise the tariffs on the rest of the goods on China, we could see growth in Malaysia slide towards the lower 4% handle. There are, I guess, obviously a lot of issues and challenges. The high household debt as well as the fiscal debt, which is sort of inherited from the previous government. Could dampen spending, but also doesn't provide that much fiscal room, for policy. And with the slowdown, commodity prices like oil prices, palm oil prices has also been coming off. There's also the China slowdown, which is also affecting exports, but could also affect China tourists coming to Malaysia. And of course, in background, we still have this problem with the property glut, in residential, in commercial, in retail, where there's clearly an overhang. But I think there are some plus sides for Malaysia. Malaysia seems to be a beneficiary from sort of the trade diversion as well as investment diversion. Export growth has slowed, but it's not as bad and ugly as some of the other countries. We're also seeing manufacturing IDI pick up, particularly in areas like Penang, some industrial zones. There's been plans from companies like Micron and Panasonic to expand in Malaysia. So I think Malaysia's not as much as Vietnam, but Malaysia is also partly benefiting from the shifting supply chain that's trying to get out of China.
And meanwhile, it appears that ASEAN is trying to stay neutral in the U.S.-China trade war. But with Trump accusing more countries of currency manipulation and potential removal of the generalized system of preferences, is this still possible?
Yeah, so I think the trade war has evolved to become a bit more complicated. It's not just a straightforward U.S.-China trade war. Trump has, fighting a trade war on many other fronts, including Mexico, over immigration, including with the EU, and Germany, Korea, and Japan over auto car tariffs. And now it's also, currently hitting out at countries, expanding the watch list for currency manipulators, which has now gone up to 21 countries from the 13 previously. So unfortunately, Malaysia, Singapore, and Vietnam has been lumped into the watch list. Trump has also dropped India and Turkey from GSP privileges. That's a privilege where the U.S. provides zero or very low import duties for certain exports. And we think now there's a risk that the U.S. may actually drop Thailand and Indonesia as well from the GSP privileges. They're currently, undergoing a review, but Thailand and Indonesia are actually the number two and number four beneficiaries of GSP. Malaysia is not, a beneficiary of GSP, but ironically, Malaysia may, benefit from the dropping of the privileges for some of the other countries, because, for example, Thailand and Indonesia actually exports rubber gloves, of which Malaysia is also an exporter in. So this could level the playing field for some of the glove exporters. But overall, I think that there's a danger, you know, that Trump will use all these labels of currency manipulation, currency undervaluation, you know, the threats of all this GSP removal to essentially extract trade concessions from smaller countries like ASEAN. They may try to influence the country's relationship with China, and I hope not, but they may also pressure the country to choose sides, right?
Hakmin, could you actually give us an example of this?
It was interesting to watch Vietnam, for example, which narrowly avoided the definition of currency manipulator. But you know, in the lead-up to that review, it agreed to buy $20 billion of U.S. goods, including military equipment. I think you know, you can also see that it's become a bit more discriminating on China's trade and investment, because I think it doesn't want to be perceived as a backdoor, you know, for China exports. So, you know, so there's a danger that ASEAN is being caught in a broader crossfire, and hopefully it doesn't come to the point where, you know, the U.S. also pressures ASEAN for concessions and being forced to choose sides.
And also there is this tech cold war that's going on between the U.S. and China right now. How will exporting nations like Singapore and Malaysia fare?
So this trade war has also broadened out to become a bit of a tech war. It's not just tariffs now. It's gone to export controls, right? The U.S. will be imposing export controls for exports to some, you know, big China tech companies like Huawei. But you know, that list has expanded to include some China companies dealing with surveillance, facial recognition technology. So unfortunately, some of the big MNCs say that they will have to abide by the U.S. export controls, right? This includes some of the U.S. firms like Micron, Intel, Broadcom, but even some Japanese companies, you know, where they have to rely on some of the U.S. technology. And all these guys have a presence in Malaysia. They also have a presence in Singapore. And so they may have to be, they may have to curtail, you know, their production and exports, which could therefore hurt, you know, and have some collateral damage in Malaysia as well. And unfortunately, it doesn't stop there. There's a consultation period that just ended on the list on the type of technologies that Trump can, you know, cover in terms of like export controls. So it doesn't stop at just 5G and telecom equipment. And the final list, we'll see what happens that comes in a couple of months, could cover technologies like robotics or biotechnology or artificial intelligence, and appears to extend well beyond, you know, military and national security applications. It's going into, yeah, consumer and commercial applications. So if it comes to that, I think this tech war will add another layer of disruption. It comes on top of the disruption that already comes with tariffs. And again, you know, it worsens the breakup and the disruption to the tech supply chain of which Malaysia's, you know, plugged into. So like it or not, we may also suffer some of the collateral damage.
And that was Chua Hakbin, senior economist with Maybank Kim Eng Research, highlighting the fact that some MNCs, particularly with a presence in exporting countries like Malaysia, like Singapore, they may have to curtail their exports in order to comply with the new US regulations. So basically, there does not seem to be an end to this trade war in sight. Now, we are running a poll this morning on our BFM Twitter, that's at BFM Radio, because Facebook announced plans to launch a cryptocurrency called Libra, supported by partners like MasterCard, PayPal and Uber. And we're asking you, would you use it? And please do tell us why. Your options are yes, no, but you would use others, no digital currencies, and wait and see. We'll take a look at the results after this, so be sure to stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.